Who had business questioning him? Not Spearman, that's for certain. But, in a way, Prince Renarin was as bad as Moash. Neither one knew their place. A Light-Eyes wanting to join Bridge Four was as bad as a Dark-Eyes talking stupid and lofty to the king. It didn't fit, even if the other bridgemen seemed to like the lad. And, of course, Moash was one of them now. Storms. Had he left his flask back at the barrack? "Heads up, Teft," Sigsel said, rising. Teft turned around and saw men in uniform approaching. He scrambled to his feet, grabbing his spear. It was Dalinar Kholin, accompanied by several of his light-eyed advisers, along with Dre and Scar from Bridge Four, the day's guards. With Moash promoted away, and Kaladin, well, not there, Teft had taken over daily assignments. Nobody else would storming do it. They said he was in command now. Idiots. "Bright Lord," Teft said, slapping his chest in salute. "Adolin told me you men were coming here," the High Prince said. He spared a glance for Prince Renarin, who had also stood and saluted, as if this weren't his own father.
"A rotation, I understand."
"Yes, sir,"
Teft said, looking toward Sigsel. It was a rotation. Teft was just on nearly every shift.
"You really think he's alive out there, soldier?" Dalinar asked.
"He is, sir," Teft said. "It's not about what I or anyone thinks."
"He fell hundreds of feet," Dalinar said.
Teft continued to stand at attention. The High Prince hadn't asked the question, so Teft didn't give a reply. He did have to banish a few terrible images in his head. Kaladin having knocked his head while falling. Kaladin having been crushed by the falling bridge. Kaladin lying with a broken leg, unable to find spheres to heal himself. The fool boy thought he was immortal sometimes. Kalek. They all thought he was.
"He is going to come back, sir," Sigsel said to Dalinar. "He's going to come climbing right up out of that chasm right there. It will be well if we're here to meet him. Uniforms on, spears polished."
"We wait on our own time, sir," Teft said. "Neither of us three are supposed to be anywhere else."
He blushed as soon as he said it, and here he'd been thinking about how Moash talked back to his betters.
"I didn't come to order you away from your chosen task, soldier," Dalinar said. "I came to make certain you were caring for yourselves. No men are to skip meals to wait here, and I don't want you getting any ideas about waiting during a high storm."
Yes, sir," Teft said.
He had used his morning meal break to put in duty here. How had Dalinar known?
"Good luck, soldier," Dalinar said,
then continued on his way, flanked by attendants, apparently off to inspect the battalion that was nearest to the eastern edge of camp. Soldiers there scurried like kremlings after a storm, carrying supply bags and piling them inside their barracks. The time for Dalinar's full expedition onto the plains was quickly approaching.
"Sir!"
Teft called after the High Prince. Dalinar turned back toward him, his attendants pausing mid-sentence.
"You don't believe us," Teft said. "That he'll come back, I mean."
"He's dead, soldier. But I understand that you need to be here anyway."
The High Prince touched his hand to his shoulder, a salute to the dead, then continued on his way.
Well, Teft supposed that was all right, Dalinar not believing. He'd just be that much more surprised when Kaladin did return. "High storm tonight," Teft thought, settling back down in his rock. "Come on, lad. What are you doing out there?"
Kaladin felt like one of the 10 fools. Actually, he felt like all of them. 10 times an idiot. But most specifically, Eshu, who spoke of things he did not understand in front of those who did. Navigation this deep in the chasms was hard, but he could usually read directions by the way that the debris was deposited. Water blew in from the east to the west, but then it drained out the other way, so cracks on the walls where debris was smashed in tight usually marked a western direction. But places where debris had been deposited more naturally, as water drained, marked where the water had flowed east. His instincts told him which way to go. They'd been wrong. He shouldn't have been so confident.
This far from the war camps, the water flows must be different. Annoyed at himself, he left Shallan drawing and walked out a ways.
Syl?
He asked. No response.
Sylfrenna,
he said, louder. He sighed and walked back to Shallan, who knelt on the mossy ground. She'd obviously given up on protecting the once fine dress from stains and rips, drawing on her sketch pad. She was another reason he felt like a fool. He shouldn't let her provoke him so. He could hold in the retorts against other, far more annoying light eyes. Why did he lose control when talking with her? Should have learned my lesson, he thought as she sketched, her expression growing intense. She's won every argument so far, hands down. He leaned against a section of the chasm wall, spear in the crook of his arm, light shining from the spheres tied tightly at his head. He had made invalid assumptions about her, as she had so poignantly noted, again and again. It was like a part of him frantically wanted to dislike her. If only he could find Syl. Everything would be better if he could see her again, if he could know that she was all right. That scream. To distract himself, he moved over to Shallan, then leaned down to see her sketch. Her map was more of a picture, one that looked eerily like the view Kaladin had had nights ago when flying above the shattered plains. Is all that necessary? He asked as she shaded in the sides of a plateau.
Yes. But yes.
It took longer than he'd have preferred. The sun passed through the crack overhead, vanishing from sight. Already past noon. They had 7 hours until the high storm, assuming the timing prediction was right. Even the best storm wardens got the calculations wrong sometimes. 7 hours. The hike out here, he thought, took about that long. But surely they'd made some progress toward the war camps. They'd been walking all morning. Well, no use rushing, Shallan. He left her to it, walking back along the chasm, looking up at the shape of the rift up above and comparing it to her drawing. From what he could see, her map was dead on. She was drawing, from memory, their entire path as if seen from above, and she did it perfectly. Every little knob and ledge accounted for.
Stormfather,
he whispered, jogging back. He'd known she had skill in drawing, but this was something entirely different. Who was this woman? She was still drawing when he arrived.
Your picture is amazingly accurate, he said. I may have underplayed my skill a little last night, Shallan said. I can remember things pretty well, though to be honest, I didn't realize how far off our path was until I drew it. A lot of these plateau shapes are unfamiliar to me. We might be into the areas that haven't been mapped yet.
He looked to her. You remember the shapes of all of the plateaus on the maps?
Yes. That's incredible.
She sat back on her knees, holding up her sketch. She brushed aside an unruly lock of red hair.
Maybe not. Something's very odd here.
What?
I think my sketch must be off.
She stood up, looking troubled.
I need more information. I'm going to walk around one of the plateaus here.
All right. She started walking, still focused on her sketch, barely paying attention to where she was going as she stumbled over rocks and sticks. He kept up with ease but didn't bother her as she turned her eyes toward the rift ahead. She walked them all the way around the base of the plateau to their right. It took a painfully long time, even walking quickly. They were losing minutes. Did she know where they were or not?
Now that plateau,
she said, pointing to the next wall. She began walking around the base of that plateau.
Shallan, Kaladin said, we don't have... This is important. So is not getting crushed in a high storm. If we don't find out where we are, we won't ever escape, she said, handing him the sheet of paper. Wait here. I'll be right back.
She jogged off, skirt swishing. Kaladin stared at the paper, inspecting the path she'd drawn. Though they'd started the morning going the right way, it was as he'd feared. Kaladin had eventually wound them around until they were going directly south again. He'd even somehow turned them back going east for a while. That put them even farther from Delinar's camp than when they'd begun the night before.
Please let her be wrong, he thought, going around the plateau the other direction to meet her halfway. But if she was wrong, they wouldn't know where they were at all. Which option was worse? He got a short distance down the chasm before freezing. The walls here were scraped free of moss, the debris on the floor pushed around and scratched. Storms, this was fresh. Since the last high storm, at least, the chasm fiend had come this way. Maybe it had gone past on its way farther out into the chasms. Shallan, distracted and muttering to herself, appeared around the other side of the plateau. She walked, still staring at the sky, muttering to herself. I know I said that I saw these patterns, but this is too grand a scale for me to know instinctively. You should have said something. She cut off abruptly, jumping as she saw Kaladin. He found himself narrowing his eyes. That had sounded like... Don't be silly. She's no warrior. The Knights Radiant had been soldiers, hadn't they? He didn't really know much about them. Still, Syl had seen several strange spren about. Shallan gave a glance to the wall of the chasm and the scrapes. Is that what I think it is? Yeah, he said. Delightful. Here, give me that paper. He handed it back, and she slipped a pencil out of her sleeve. He gave her the satchel, which she set on the floor, using the stiff side as a place to sketch. She filled in the two plateaus closest to them, the ones she'd walked around to get a full view. So is your drawing off or not? Kaladin asked. It's accurate, Shallan said as she drew. It's just strange. From my memory of the maps, this set of plateaus nearest to us should be farther to the north. There is another group of them up there that are exactly the same shape, only mirrored. You can remember the maps that well? Yes. He didn't press further. From what he'd seen, maybe she could do just that. She shook her head. What are the chances that a series of plateaus would take the exact same shape as those on another part of the plains? Not just one, but an entire sequence. The plains are symmetrical, Kaladin said. She froze. How do you know that? It was a dream. I saw the plateaus arrayed in a wide symmetrical formation. She looked back at her map, then gasped. She began scribbling notes on the side. Cymatics. What? I know where the Parshendi are. Her eyes widened. And the Oath Gate. The center of the Shattered Plains. I can see it all. I can map almost the entire thing. He shivered. You... What? She looked up sharply, meeting his eyes. We have to get back. Yes, I know. The high storm. More than that, she said, standing. I know too much now to die out here. The Shattered Plains are a pattern. This isn't a natural rock formation. Her eyes widened further. At the center of these plains was a city. Something broke it apart. A weapon. Vibrations? Like sand on a plate? An earthquake that could break rock. Stone became sand, and at the blowing of the high storms the cracks full of sand were hollowed out. Her eyes seemed eerily distant, and Kaladin didn't understand half of what she'd said. We need to reach the center, Shallan said. I can find it, the heart of these plains, by following the pattern. And there will be... things there. The secret you're searching for, Kaladin said. What had she said just earlier? Oathgate? She blushed deeply. Let's keep moving. Didn't you mention how little time we had? Honestly, if one of us weren't chatting away all the time and distracting everyone, I'm half certain we'd be back already. He cocked an eyebrow at her and she grinned, then pointed the direction for them to go. I'm leading now, by the way. Probably for the best. Though, she said, as I consider it might be better to let you lead. That way we might find our way to the center by accident, assuming we don't end up in Aesir. He gave her a chuckle at that because it seemed the right thing to do. Inside, however, it ripped him apart. He'd failed. The next few hours were excruciating. After walking the length of two plateaus, Shallan had to stop and update her map. It was correct to do so. They couldn't risk getting off track again. It just took so much time. Even moving as quickly as they could between drawing sessions, practically running the entire way, their progress was too slow. Kaladin shuffled from foot to foot, watching the sky as Shallan filled in her map again. She cursed and grumbled, and he noticed her brushing away a drop of sweat that had fallen from her brow onto the increasingly crumpled paper.
Maybe 4 hours left until the storm, Kaladin thought. We aren't going to make it.
I'll try for the scouts again, he said. Shallan nodded. They had entered the territory where Dalinar's pole-wielding scouts watched for new chrysalises. Shouting to them was a slim hope. Even if they were lucky enough to find one of those groups, he doubted they had enough rope handy to reach to the bottom of the chasm. But it was a chance. So he moved away, so as not to disturb her drawing, cupped his mouth and began shouting.
Hello! Please reply! We're trapped in the chasms! Please reply!
He walked for a time, shouting, then stopped to listen. Nothing came back. No questioning shouts echoing down from above, no signs of life.
They've probably all withdrawn into their cubbies by now, Kaladin thought. They've broken down their watch posts and are waiting for the high storm.
He stared up with frustration at that slot of attenuated sky. So distant. He remembered this feeling, being down here with Teft and the others, longing to climb out and escape the horrible life of a bridgeman. For the 100th time he tried drawing in the stormlight of those spheres. He clutched the sphere until his hand and the glass were sweaty, but the stormlight, the power within, did not flow to him. He couldn't feel the light anymore.
Syl!
He yelled, tucking away the sphere, cupping his hands around his mouth.
Syl! Please! Are you there? Anywhere?
He trailed off.
I still don't know, he said more softly. Is this a punishment, or is it something more? What is wrong?
No reply. Surely if she were watching him, she wouldn't let him die down here, assuming she could think to notice. He had a horrible image of her riding the winds, mingling with the windspren, having forgotten herself and him, becoming terribly, blissfully ignorant of what she truly was. She'd feared that. She'd been terrified of it. Shallan's boots scratched the ground as she walked up.
No luck?
He shook his head.
Well, onward then.
She took a deep breath.
Through soreness and exhaustion we go. You wouldn't be willing to carry me a little ways.
He glared at her. She shrugged with a smile.
Think how grand it would be. I could even get a reed to whip you with. You'd be able to go back and tell all the other guards what an awful person I am. It'll be a wonderful opportunity for griping. No? Well, all right then. Off we go.
You're a strange woman.
Thank you.
He fell into step beside her.
My, she noted. You've brewed another storm over your head, I see. I've killed us, he whispered. I took the lead and I got us lost. Well, I didn't notice we were going the wrong way either. I wouldn't have done any better.
I should have thought to have you map our progress from the start today. I was too confident.
It's done, she said. If I'd been more clear with you about how well I could draw these plateaus, then you'd probably have made better use of my maps. I didn't, and you didn't know. So, here we are. You can't blame yourself for everything, right?
He walked in silence.
Right?
It's my fault. She rolled her eyes exaggeratedly.
You are really intent on beating yourself up, aren't you?
His father had said the same thing time and time again. It was who Kaladin was. Did they expect him to change?
We'll be fine, Shallan said. You'll see.
That darkened his mood further.
You still think I'm too optimistic, don't you?
Shallan said. It's not your fault, Kaladin said. I'd rather be like you. I'd rather not have lived the life I have. I would that the world was only full of people like you, Shallan Devar.
People who don't understand pain.
Oh, all people understand pain, Kaladin said. That's not what I'm talking about. It's
the sorrow, Shallan said softly, of watching a life crumble, of struggling to grab it and hold on, but feeling hope become stringy sinew and blood beneath your fingers as everything collapses.
Yes.
The sensation, it's not sorrow, but something deeper, of being broken, of being crushed so often and so hatefully that emotion becomes something you can only wish for. If only you could cry, because then you'd feel something. Instead, you feel nothing. Just haze and smoke inside, like you're already dead.
He stopped in the chasm. She turned and looked to him.
The crushing guilt, she said, of being powerless, of wishing they'd hurt you instead of those around you, of screaming and scrambling and hating as those you love are ruined, popped like a boil. And you have to watch their joy seeping away while you can't do anything. They break the ones you love and not you. And you plead, can't you just beat me instead?
Yes, he whispered. Shallan nodded, holding his eyes.
Yes, it would be nice if nobody in the world knew of those things, Kaladin Stormblessed. I agree. With everything I have.
He saw it in her eyes, the anguish, the frustration, the terrible nothing that clawed inside and sought to smother her. She knew it was there, inside. She had been broken. Then she smiled. Oh, storms! She smiled anyway. It was the single most beautiful thing he'd seen in his entire life.
How?
He asked. She shrugged lightly.
Helps if you're crazy. Come on. I do believe we're under a slight time constraint.
She started down the chasm. He stood behind, feeling drained, and oddly brightened. He should feel like a fool. He'd done it again. He'd been telling her how easy her life was, while she'd had that hiding inside of her all along. This time, though, he didn't feel like an idiot. He felt like he understood. Something. He didn't know what. The chasm just seemed a little brighter.
Tien always did that to me, he thought, even on the darkest day.
He stood still long enough that frill blooms opened around him, their wide fan-like fronds displaying veined patterns of orange, red, and violet. He eventually jogged after Shallan, shocking the plants closed.
I think, she said, we need to focus on the positive side of being down here in this terrible chasm.
She eyed him. He didn't say anything.
Come on, she said. I have the sense that it would be better not to encourage you. What's the fun in that?
Well, we are about to get hit by a high storm's flood.
So our clothing will get washed, she said with a grin. See? Positive.
He snorted.
Ah, that Bridgman grunt dialect again, she noted.
That grunt meant, he said, that at least if the waters come, it will wash away some of your stench.
Huh. Mildly amusing, but no points to you. I already established that you're the malodorous one. Reuse of jokes is strictly forbidden on pain of getting dunked in a high storm.
All right, then, he said. It's a good thing we're down here because I had guard duty tonight. Now I'm going to miss it. That is practically like getting the day off.
To go swimming, no less.
He smiled.
I, she proclaimed, am glad we are down here because the sun is far too bright up above, and it tends to give me a sunburn unless I wear a hat. It is much better to be down in the dank, dark, smelly, moldy, potentially life-threatening depths. No sunburns, just monsters.
I'm glad to be down here, he said, because at least it was me and not one of my men who fell. She hopped over a puddle, then eyed him.
You're not very good at this.
Sorry. I meant that I'm glad to be down here because when we get out,
Everyone will cheer me for being a hero for rescuing you.
Better,
Shallan said, except for the fact that I do believe that I am the one rescuing you. He glanced at her map. Point. I, she said, am glad to be down here because I've always wondered what it's like to be a chunk of meat traveling through a digestive system, and these chasms remind me of the intestines.
I hope you're not serious.
What?
She looked shocked.
Of course I'm not. You?
You really do try too hard.
It's what keeps me insane.
He scrambled up a large pile of debris, then offered a hand to help her.
I, he said, am happy to be here because it reminds me of how lucky I am to be free of Sadius's army.
Ah,
she said, stepping up to the top with him. His light eyes sent us down here to gather, Kaladin said, sliding down the other side, and didn't pay us much at all for the effort.
Tragic.
You could say, he told her as she stepped down off the pile, that we were given only a pittance.
He grinned at her. She cocked her head.
Pittance,
he said, gesturing toward the depth of the hole they were in.
You know, we're in a pit.
Oh, storms, she said. You don't actually expect that to count. That was terrible.
I know. I'm sorry. My mother would be disappointed.
She didn't like wordplay?
No, she loved it. She'd just be mad I tried to do it when she wasn't around to laugh at me.
Shallan smiled, and they continued on, keeping a brisk pace.
I am glad we're down here, she said, because by now Adolin will be worried sick about me, so when we get back he'll be ecstatic. He might even let me kiss him in public.
Adolin. Right. That dampened his mood.
We probably need to stop so I can draw out our map, Shallan said, frowning at the sky, and so that you can yell some more for our potential salvation.
I suppose, he said, as she settled down to get out her map.
He cupped his hands.
Hey, up there! Anyone? We're down here and we're making bad puns. Please save us from ourselves!
Shallan chuckled. Kaladin smiled, then started as he actually heard something echoing back. Was that a voice? Or, wait, a trumping sound, like a horn's call, but overlapping itself. It grew louder, washing over them. Then an enormous, skittering mass of carapace and claws crashed around the corner. Chasm fiend. Kaladin's mind panicked, but his body simply moved. He snatched Shallan by the arm, hauling her to her feet and pulling her into a run. She shouted, dropping her satchel. Kaladin pulled her after him and did not look back. He could feel the thing, too close, the walls of the chasm shaking from its pursuit. Bones, twigs, shell, and plants cracked and snapped. The monster trumped again, a deafening sound. It was almost upon them, storms, but it could move. He'd never have imagined something so large being so quick. There was no distracting it this time. It was almost upon them. He could feel it, right behind... There. He whipped Shallan in front of him and thrust her into a fissure in the wall. As a shadow loomed over him, he threw himself into the fissure, shoving Shallan backward. She grunted as he pressed her against some of the refuse of twigs and leaves that had been packed into this crack by floodwaters. The chasm fell silent. Kaladin could hear only Shallan's panting and his own heartbeat. They'd left most of their spheres on the ground, where Shallan had been preparing to draw. He still had his spear, his improvised lantern. Slowly, Kaladin twisted about, putting his back to Shallan. She held him from behind, and he could feel her tremble. Stormfather. He trembled himself. He twisted his spear to give light, peering out at the chasm. This fissure was shallow, and only a few feet stood between him and the opening. The frail, washed-out light of his diamond spheres twinkled off the wet floor. It illuminated broken frill blooms on the walls and several writhing vines on the ground, severed from their plants. They twisted and flopped like men arching their backs. The chasm fiend. Where was it? Shallan gasped, arms tightening around his waist. He looked up. There... Higher up the crack, a large, inhuman eye watched them. He couldn't see the bulk of the chasm fiend's head,
just part of the face and jaw, with that terrible, glassy, green eye. A large claw slammed against the side of the hole, trying to force its way in, but the crack was too small. The claw dug at the hole, and then the head withdrew. Scraping rock and chitin sounded in the chasm, but the thing didn't go far before stopping. Silence. A steady drip somewhere fell into a pool, but otherwise, silence.
"It's waiting," Shallan whispered, head near his shoulder. "You sound proud of it," Kaladin snapped. "A little."
She paused.
"How long do you suppose until?"
He looked upward, but couldn't see the sky. The crack didn't run all the way up the side of the chasm, and was barely 10 or 15 feet tall. He leaned forward to look at the slot high above, not extending all the way out of the crack, just getting a little closer to the lip so he could see the sky. It was getting dark. Not yet sunset, but getting close.
2 hours, maybe, he said.
A crashing tempest of carapace charged down the chasm. Kaladin jumped back, pressing Shallan against the refuse again as the chasm fiend tried, without success, to get one of its legs into the fissure. The leg was still too large, and though the chasm fiend could shove the tip in toward them, getting close enough to brush Kaladin, it wasn't enough to hurt them. That eye returned, reflecting the image of Kaladin and Shallan, tattered and dirty from their time in the chasm. Kaladin looked less frightened than he felt, staring that thing in the eye, spear held up wardingly. Shallan, rather than looking terrified, seemed fascinated.
Crazy woman.
The chasm fiend withdrew again. It stopped just down the chasm. He could hear it settling down to watch.
So,
Shallan said,
we wait?
Sweat trickled down the sides of Kaladin's face. Wait. How long? He could imagine staying in here like a frightened rock bud trapped in its shell until the waters came crashing through the chasms. He'd survived a storm once, barely, and only then with the aid of stormlight. In here it would be far different. The waters would whip them in a surge through the chasms, smashing them into walls, boulders, churning them with the dead until they drowned or ripped limb from limb. It would be a very, very bad way to die. His grip tightened on his spear. He waited, sweating, worrying. The chasm fiend didn't leave. Minutes passed. Finally, Kaladin made his decision. He moved a step forward.
What are you doing?
Shallan hissed, sounding terrified. She tried to hold him back.
When I'm out, he said, run the other way. Don't be stupid.
I'll distract it, he said. Once you're free, I'll lead it away from you, then escape. We can meet back up.
Liar,
she whispered. He twisted about, meeting her eyes.
You can get back to the war camps on your own, he said. I can't. You have information that needs to get to Dalinar. I don't. I have combat training. I might be able to get away from the thing after distracting it. You couldn't. If we wait here, we both die. Do you need more logic than that? I hate logic, she whispered. Always have.
We don't have time to talk about it, Kaladin said, twisting around, his back to her.
You can't do this.
I can. He took a deep breath.
Who knows, he said more softly. Maybe I'll get in a lucky hit.
He reached up and ripped the spheres off his spearhead, then tossed them out into the chasm. He'd need a steadier light.
Get ready. Please, she whispered, sounding more frantic. Don't leave me down in these chasms alone.
He smiled wryly. Is it really this hard for you to let me win one single argument?
Yes, she said. No, I mean, storms. Kaladin, it will kill you.
He gripped his spear. The way things had been going with him lately, perhaps that was what he deserved.
Apologize to Adolin for me. I actually kind of like him. He's a good man. Not just for light eyes. Just a good person. I've never given him the credit he deserves. Kaladin?
It has to happen, Shallan.
At least,
she said, reaching her hand over his shoulder and past his head.
Take this. Take what?
This,
Shallan said. Then she summoned a shard blade. 72. Selfish Reasons.
I suspect that he is more a force than an individual now. Despite your insistence to the contrary, that force is contained and an equilibrium reached.
Kaladin stared at the glistening length of metal which dripped with condensation from its summoning. It glowed softly the color of garnet along several faint lines down its length. Shallan had a shard blade. He twisted his head toward her, and in doing so his cheek brushed the flat of the blade. No screams. He froze, then cautiously raised a finger and touched the cold metal. Nothing happened. The screech he had heard in his mind when fighting alongside Adolin did not recur. It seemed a very bad sign to him. Though he did not know the meaning of that terrible sound, it was related to his bond with Syl.
How? He asked. It's not important. I rather think it is. Not at the moment. Look, are you going to take this thing? Holding it this way is awkward. If I drop it by accident and cut off your foot, it's going to be your fault.
He hesitated, regarding his face reflected in its metal. He saw corpses, friends with burning eyes. He'd refused these weapons each time one was offered to him. But always before, it had been after the fight, or at least on the practice grounds. This was different. Besides, he wasn't choosing to become a shard-bearer. He would only use this weapon to protect someone's life. Making a decision, he reached up and seized the shard blade by the hilt. At least this told him one thing. Shallan wasn't likely to be a surge binder. Otherwise, he suspected she'd hate this blade as much as he did.
You're not supposed to let people use your blade, Kaladin said.
By tradition, only the king and the high princess do that.
Great, she said. You can report me to Brightness Navani for being wildly indecent and ignorant of protocol. For now, can we just survive, please?
Yeah, he said, hefting the blade. That sounds wonderful.
He barely knew how to use one of these. Training with a practice sword did not make you an expert with the real thing. Unfortunately, a spear was going to be of little use against a creature so large and so well armored.
Also, Shallan said, could you not do that reporting me thing I mentioned? That was a joke. I don't think I'm supposed to have that blade.
Nobody would believe me anyway, Kaladin said.
You are going to run, right? As I instructed?
Yes, but if you could, please lead the monster to the left.
That's toward the war camps, Kaladin said, frowning. I was planning to lead it deeper into the chasms so that you—
I need to get back to my satchel,
Shallan said.
Crazy woman.
We're fighting for our lives, Shallan. The satchel is unimportant. No, it's very important, she said. I need it to— Well, the sketches in there show the pattern of the shattered planes. I'll need that to help Dalinar. Please, just do it.
Fine. If I can.
Good. And, please don't die, all right?
He was suddenly aware of her pressed against his back, holding him, breath warm on his neck. She trembled, and he thought he could hear in her voice both terror and fascination at their situation.
I'll do my best, he said.
Get ready.
She nodded, letting go of him. One, two, three.
He leaped out into the chasm, then turned and dashed left, toward the chasm fiend.
Storming woman. The beast lurked in the shadows in that direction.
No, it was a shadow. An enormous, looming shadow, long and eel-like, lifted above the floor of the chasm and gripping the walls with its legs. It tromped and surged forward, carapace scraping on rock. Holding tightly to the shard blade, Kaladin threw himself to the ground and ducked underneath the monster. The ground heaved as the beast smashed claws toward him, but Kaladin came up unscathed. He swung wildly with the shard blade, carving a line in the rock wall beside him but missing the chasm fiend. It curled in the chasm, twisting underneath itself, then turning about. The maneuver went far more smoothly for the monster than Kaladin would have hoped.
"How do I even kill something like this?"
Kaladin wondered, backing up as the chasm fiend settled on the floor of the chasm to inspect him. Hacking at that enormous body was unlikely to kill it quickly enough. Did it have a heart? Not the stone gem heart, but a real one. He'd have to try to get underneath it again. Kaladin continued to back down the chasm, trying to lead the creature away from Shallan. It moved more carefully than Kaladin would have expected. He was relieved to catch sight of Shallan escaping the crack and scrambling away down the passage.
"Come on, you!"
Kaladin said, waving the shard blade at the chasm fiend. It reared up in the chasm, but did not strike at him. It watched, eyes hidden in its darkened face. The only light came from the distant slit, high above, and the spheres he'd tossed out into the chasm, which were now behind the monster. Shallan's blade glowed softly, too, from a strange pattern along its length. Kaladin had never seen one do that before, but then he'd never seen a shard blade in the dark before. Looking up at the rearing, alien silhouette before him, with its too many legs, its twisted head, its segmented armor, Kaladin thought he must know what a Voidbringer looked like. Surely nothing more terrible than this could exist. Stepping backward, Kaladin stumbled on an outcropping of shale bark sprouting from the floor. The chasm fiend struck. Kaladin regained his balance easily, but had to throw himself into a roll, which required dropping the shard blade lest he slice himself. Shadowy claws smashed around him as he came out of his roll and sprang one way, then the other. He ended up pressed against the slimy side of the chasm just in front of the monster, puffing. He was too close for the claws to get him, perhaps, and the head snapped down, mandibles gaping. Kaladin cursed, hurling himself to the side again. He grunted, rolling to his feet and scooping up the discarded shard blade. It hadn't vanished. He knew enough about them to understand that once Shallan instructed it to remain, it would stay until she summoned it back. Kaladin turned around as a claw came down where he had just been. He got a swipe at it, cutting through the claw's tip as it crashed into rock. His cut didn't seem to do much. The blade scored the carapace and killed the flesh inside, prompting a trump of anger, but the claw was enormous. He'd done the equivalent of cutting off the tip of an enemy soldier's big toe. Storms! He wasn't fighting the beast, he was just annoying it. It came more aggressively, sweeping at him with a claw. Fortunately, the confines of the chasm made it difficult for the creature to swing. Its arms brushed the walls, and it couldn't pull back for full leverage. That was probably why Kaladin was still alive. He got out of the way of the sweep, barely, but tripped in the darkness again. He could hardly see. As another claw crashed toward him, Kaladin got to his feet and dashed away, running farther down the corridor, farther from the light, passing plants and flotsam. The chasm fiend trumped and charged after him, clacking and scraping. Kaladin felt so slow without stormlight, so clumsy and awkward. The chasm fiend was close. He judged his next move by instinct. Now! He stopped with a lurch, then sprinted back toward the creature. It slowed with great difficulty, carapace grinding on the walls, and Kaladin ducked and ran beneath it. He slammed the shard blade upward, sinking it deep into the creature's underside. The beast trumped more frantically. He seemed to have actually heard it, for it immediately lifted upward to pull itself off the sword. Then it twisted down upon itself in an eye blink, and Kaladin found those frightful jaws coming at him. He threw himself forward, but the snapping jaws caught his leg. Blinding pain ran up the limb, and he struck down with the blade even as the beast flung him about. He thought he hit its face, though he couldn't be certain. The world spun. He hit the ground and rolled. No time to be dizzy. With everything still spinning, he groaned and turned over. He'd lost the shard blade. He didn't know where it was. His leg. He couldn't feel it. He looked down, expecting to see nothing but a ragged stump. It wasn't quite so bad. Bloodied, the trousers ripped, but he couldn't see bone. The numbness was from shock. His mind had gone analytical and focused on the wounds. That wasn't good. He needed the soldier at the moment, not the surgeon. The chasm fiend was riding itself in the chasm, and a chunk of its facial carapace was missing. Get away. Kaladin turned over and climbed to hands and knees, then lurched to his feet. The leg worked, kind of. His boots squished as he stepped. Where was the shard blade? There, ahead. It had flown far, embedding itself in the ground near the spheres he'd tossed from the rift. Kaladin hobbled toward it, but had trouble walking, let alone running. He was halfway there when his leg gave out. He hit hard, scraping his arm on shale bark. The chasm fiend trumped and...
Hey! Hey!
Kaladin twisted about.
Shallan? What was that fool woman doing standing in the chasm, waving her hands like a maniac? How had she even gotten past him?
She yelled again, getting the chasm fiend's attention. Her voice echoed oddly. The chasm fiend turned from Kaladin to Shallan, then began to smash at her.
No!
Kaladin yelled. But what was the use in shouting? He needed his weapon. Gritting his teeth, he twisted about and scrambled, as best he could, to the shard blade.
Storms! Shallan!
He ripped the sword from the rock, but then he collapsed again. The leg just wouldn't hold him. He twisted back, holding out the blade, searching the chasm. The monster continued to swipe about, trumping, the terrible sound echoing and reverberating in the narrow confines. Kaladin couldn't see a corpse. Had Shallan escaped? Stabbing the blasted thing through the chest only seemed to have made it angrier. The head. His only chance was the head. Kaladin struggled to his feet. The monster stopped smashing against the ground, and with a trump surged toward him. Kaladin gripped the sword in two hands, then wavered. His leg buckled beneath him. He tried to go down on one knee, but the leg gave out completely, and he slumped to the side and narrowly avoided slicing himself with the shard blade. He splashed into a pool of water. In front of him, one of the spheres he'd tossed shone with a bright white light. He reached into the water, snatching it, clutching the chilled glass. He needed that light. Storms, his life, depended on it.
Please.
The chasm fiend loomed above. Kaladin sucked in breath, straining, like a man gasping for air. He heard, as if distantly, weeping. No power entered him. The chasm fiend swung and Kaladin twisted, and strangely found himself. The other version of him stood above him, sword raised, larger than life. It was bigger than him by half.
What in the Almighty's own eyes?
Kaladin thought, dumbfounded as the chasm fiend smashed an arm down onto the figure beside Kaladin. That not him shattered into a puff of stormlight.
What had he done? How had he done it?
No matter, he lived. With a cry of desperation, he threw himself back to his feet and lurched toward the chasm fiend. He needed to get close, as he had before, too close for the claws to swing in those confines. So close that... The chasm fiend reared and snapped down for a bite, mandibles extending, terrible eyes bearing down. Kaladin thrust upward.
The chasm fiend crashed down, chitin snapping, legs spasming. Shallan cried out, free hand to mouth from where she hid behind a boulder, her skin and clothing turned deep black. The chasm fiend had fallen on Kaladin. Shallan dropped her paper, it bore a drawing of her and another of Kaladin, and scrambled across the rocks, dismissing the blackness around her. She'd needed to be close to the fighting for the illusions to work. Better if she'd been able to send them on pattern, but that was problematic because... She stopped in front of the still twitching beast, a heap of flesh and carapace like a fallen avalanche of stone. She shifted from one foot to another, uncertain what to do. Kaladin, she called out. Her voice was frail in the darkness. Stop it, she told herself. No timidity. You're past that. Taking a deep breath, she moved forward, picking her way over the huge, armored legs. She tried to shove aside a claw, but it was far too heavy for her, so she climbed over it and skidded down the other side. She froze as she heard something. The chasm fiend's head lay nearby, massive eyes cloudy. Sprens started to rise from it, like trails of smoke. The same ones as before, only... Leaving? She held her light closer. The bottom half of Kaladin's body protruded from the chasm fiend's mouth. Almighty above! Shallan gasped, then scrambled forward. She tried with difficulty to pull Kaladin from the closed maw, before summoning her shard blade and cutting away at several mandibles. "Kaladin?" she asked, nervously peering into the thing's mouth from the side where she'd removed a mandible. "Ow!" a weak voice trailed back to her. "Alive!" "Hang on," she said, hacking at the thing's head, careful not to cut too close to Kaladin. Violet ichor spurted out, coating her arms, smelling like wet mold. "This is kind of uncomfortable," Kaladin said. "You're alive," Shallan said. "Stop complaining." He was alive. Oh, Stormfather. Alive. She would have a whole heap of prayers to burn when they got back. "Smells awful in here," Kaladin said weakly. "Almost as bad as you do." "Be glad," Shallan said as she worked. "Here I have a reasonably perfect specimen of a chasm fiend, with only a minor case of being dead, and I'm chopping it apart for you instead of studying it. I'm eternally grateful." "How did you get in its mouth anyway?" Shallan asked, prying off a piece of carapace with a sickening sound. She tossed it aside. "Stabbed it through the roof of its mouth," Kaladin said. "Into the brain. Only way I could figure to kill the blasted thing." She leaned down, reaching her hand through the large hole she'd opened. With some work, and with a little cutting at the front mandibles, she managed to help Kaladin wiggle out the side of the mouth. Covered in ichor and blood, face pale from apparent blood loss, he looked like death itself. "Storms," she whispered, as he lay back on the rocks. "Bind my leg," Kaladin said weakly. "The rest of me should be fine. Heal right up." She looked at the mess of his leg and shivered. It looked like Balat. Kaladin wouldn't be walking on that leg any time soon. "Oh, Stormfather," she thought, cutting off the skirt of her dress at the knees. She wrapped his leg tightly as he instructed. He seemed to think he didn't need a tourniquet. She listened to him. He'd probably bound far more wounds than she had. She cut the sleeve off her right arm and used that to bind a second wound on his side, where the chasm fiend had started to rip him in half as it bit. Then she settled down next to him, feeling drained and cold, legs and arm now exposed to the chill air of the chasm bottom. Kaladin took a deep breath, resting on the rock ground, eyes closed. 2 hours until the high storm, he whispered. Shallan checked the sky. It was almost dark. If that long, she whispered. We beat it, but we're dead anyway, aren't we? Seems unfair, he said. Then he groaned, sitting up. Shouldn't you? Bah! I've had far worse wounds than this. She raised an eyebrow at him as he opened his eyes. He looked dizzy. I have, he insisted. That's not just soldier bravado. This bad? She asked. How often? Twice, he admitted. He looked over the hulking form of the chasm fiend. We actually killed the thing. Sad, I know, she said, feeling depressed. It was beautiful. It would be more beautiful if it hadn't tried to eat me. From my perspective, Shallan noted. It didn't try, it succeeded. Nonsense, Kaladin said. It didn't manage to swallow me. Doesn't count. He held his hand out to her, as if for help, getting to his feet. You want to try to keep going? You expect me to just lie here in the chasm until the waters come? No, but... She looked up. The chasm fiend was big, maybe 20 feet tall as it lay on its side. What if we climbed up that thing, then tried to scale up to the top of the plateau? The farther westward they'd gone, the shallower the chasms had grown. Kaladin looked up. That's still a good 80 feet of climbing, Shallan. And what would we do on the top of the plateau? The storm would blow us off. We could at least try to find some kind of shelter, she said. Storms. It really is hopeless, isn't it? Oddly, he cocked his head. Probably. Only probably? Shelter. You have a shard blade. And? She asked. I can't cut away a wall of water. No, but you can cut stone. He looked up, toward the wall of the chasm. Shallan's breath caught in her throat. We can carve out a cubby, like the scouts use. High up the wall, he said. You can see the waterline up there. If we can get above that. It still meant climbing. She wouldn't have to go all the way to where the chasm got narrow at the top, but it wouldn't be an easy climb by any means, and she had very little time. But it was a chance. You're going to have to do it, Kaladin said. I might be able to stand with help, but climbing while wielding a shard blade... Right, Shallan said, standing up. She took a deep breath. Right. She started by scaling the back of the chasm fiend. The smooth carapace made for slippery climbing, but she found footholds between plates. Once on its back, she looked up toward the waterline. It seemed much higher than it had from below. Cut handholds, Kaladin called. Right. She kept forgetting about the shard blade. She didn't want to think about it. No, no time for that now. She summoned the blade and cut out a series of long strips of rock, sending chunks falling to bounce off the carapace. She tucked her hair behind her ear, working in the dim light to create a ladder-like series of handholds up the side of the wall. She started climbing them. Standing on one and clinging to the highest one, she summoned the blade again and tried to cut a step even higher, but the thing was just so blasted long. Obligingly, it shrank in her hand to the size of a much shorter sword, really a big knife. Thank you, she thought, then cut out the next line of rock. Up she went, handhold after handhold. It was sweaty work, and she periodically had to climb back down and rest her hands from clinging. Eventually, she got about as high as she figured she could, just over the waterline. She hung there awkwardly, then began hacking out sections of rock, trying to cut them so they wouldn't tumble backward onto her head. Falling stone made a beating sound on the dead chasm fiend's armor. You're doing great, Kaladin called up to her. Keep at it. When did you get so peppy? She shouted. Ever since I assumed I was dead, then I suddenly wasn't. Then remind me to try to kill you once in a while, she snapped. If I succeed, it will make me feel better, and if I fail, it will make you feel better. Everyone wins. She heard him chuckling as she dug deeper into the stone. It was more difficult than she'd have imagined. Yes, the blade cut the rock easily, but she kept cutting sections that just wouldn't fall out. She had to chop them to pieces, then dismiss the blade and grab chunks to pull them out. After over an hour of frantic work, however, she managed to craft a semblance of a refuge. She didn't get the cubby hollowed out as deeply as she wanted, but it would have to do. Drained, she crawled back down her improvised ladder one last time and flopped on the chasm fiend's back amid the rubble. Her arms felt like she'd been lifting something heavy, and technically she probably had, since climbing meant lifting herself. Done? Kaladin called up from the chasm floor. No, Shallan said. But close enough. I think we might fit. Kaladin was silent. You are coming up into the hole I just cut, Kaladin Bridgeboy, Chasm Fiend Slayer and Gloombringer. She leaned over the side of the Chasm Fiend to look at him. We are not having another stupid conversation about you dying in here while I bravely continue on, understand? I'm not sure if I can walk, Shallan, Kaladin said with a sigh. Let alone climb. You're going, Shallan said. If I have to carry you... He looked up, then grinned, face covered in dried violet ichor that he'd wiped away as best he could. I'd like to see that. Come on, Shallan said, rising with some difficulty herself. Storms, she was tired. She used the blade to hack a vine off the wall. It took two hits to get it free, amusingly. The first severed its soul. Then, dead, it could actually be cut by the sword. The upper part withdrew, curling like a corkscrew to get height. She tossed down one side of the length she'd cut free. Kaladin took it with one hand, and favoring his bad leg, carefully made his way up to the top of the chasm fiend. Once up, he flopped down beside her, sweat making trails through the grime on his face. He looked up at the ladder cut into the rock.
"You're really going to make me climb that?"
"Yes," she said, "for perfectly selfish reasons." He looked to her. "I'm not going to have your last sight in life be a view of me standing in half a filthy dress, covered in purple blood, my hair an utter mess. It's undignified. On your feet, bridge boy." In the distance, she heard a rumbling.
"Not good." "Climb up," he said.
"I'm not—"
"Climb up," he said more firmly, "and lie down in the cubby. Then reach your hand over the edge. Once I near the top, you can help me the last few feet."
She fretted for a moment, then fetched her satchel and made the climb. Storms, those handholds were slick. Once up, she crawled into the shallow cubby and perched precariously, reaching down with one hand as she braced herself with the other. He looked up at her, then set his jaw and started climbing. He mostly pulled himself with his hands, wounded leg dangling, the other one steadying him. Heavily muscled, his soldier's arms slowly pulled him up, slot by slot. Below, water trickled down the chasm. Then it started to gush. "Come on," she said. Wind howled through the chasms, a haunting, eerie sound that called through the many rifts, like the moaning of spirits long dead. The high sound was accompanied by a low, rumbling roar. All around, plants withdrew, vines twisting and pulling tight, rock buds closing, frill blooms folding away. The chasm hid. Kaladin grunted, sweating, his face tense with pain and exertion, his fingers trembling. He pulled himself up another rung, then reached his hand up toward hers. The storm wall hit. 73. A thousand scurrying creatures. 1 year ago. Shallan slipped into Balat's room, holding a short note between her fingers. Balat spun, standing. He relaxed.
"Shallan, you nearly killed me with fright."
The small room, like many in the manor house, had open windows with simple reed shutters. Those were closed and latched today, as a high storm was approaching, the last one before the weeping. Servants outside pounded on the walls as they affixed sturdy storm shutters over the reed ones. Shallan wore one of her new dresses, the expensive kind that father bought for her, after the Vorin style, straight and slim-waisted, with a pocket on the sleeve. A woman's dress. She also wore the necklace he had given her. He liked it when she did that. Jushu lounged on a chair nearby, rubbing some kind of plant between his fingers, his face distant. He had lost weight during the 2 years since his creditors had dragged him from the house, though with those sunken eyes and the scars on his wrists, he still didn't look much like his twin. Shallan eyed the bundles Balat had been preparing. "Good thing father never checks in on you, Balat. Those bundles look so fishy we could make a stew out of them." Jushu chuckled, rubbing the scar on one wrist with the other hand.
"Doesn't help that he jumps every time a servant so much as sneezes out in the hallway."
"Quiet, both of you," Balat said, eyeing the window where workers locked a storm shutter in place.
"This is not a time for levity. Damnation. If he discovers that I'm planning to leave—"
"He won't," Shallan said, unfolding the letter. "He's too busy getting ready to parade himself in front of the High Prince."
"Does it feel odd to anyone else," Jushu said, "to be this rich? How many deposits of valuable stone are there on our lands?"
Balat turned back to packing his bundles.
"So long as it keeps father happy, I don't care."
The problem was it hadn't made father happy. Yes, House Tavar was now wealthy. The new quarries provided a fantastic income.
Yet the better off they were, the darker Father grew, walking the hallways grumbling, lashing out at servants. Shallan scanned the letter's contents. "That's not a pleased face," Balat said. "They still haven't been able to find him?" Shallan shook her head. Helleran had vanished. Really vanished. No more contact. No more letters. Even the people he'd been in touch with earlier had no idea where he'd gone. Balat sat down on one of his bundles. "So what do we do?" "You will need to decide," Shallan said. "I have to get out. I have to." He ran his hand through his hair. "Elita is ready to go with me. Her parents are away for the month, visiting Alethkar. It's the perfect time."
"If you can't find Helleran, then what?"
"I'll go to the High Prince. His bastard said that he'd listen to anyone willing to speak against Father."
"That was years ago," Jushu said, leaning back. "Father's in favor now. Besides, the High Prince is nearly dead. Everyone knows it."
"It's our only chance," Balat said. He stood up. "I'm going to leave. Tonight, after the storm."
"But Father," Shallan began.
"Father wants me to ride out and check on some of the villages along the Eastern Valley. I'll tell him I'm doing that, but instead I'll pick up Elita, and we'll ride for Vaidnar and go straight to the High Prince. By the time Father arrives a week later, I'll have had my say. It might be enough."
"And Malise?" Shallan asked. The plan was still for him to take their stepmother to safety.
"I don't know," Balat said. "He's not going to let her go. Maybe once he leaves to visit the High Prince, you can send her away someplace safe. I don't know. Either way, I have to go. Tonight."
Shallan stepped forward, laying a hand on his arm.
"I'm tired of the fear," Balat said to her. "I'm tired of being a coward. If Helleran has vanished, then I really am eldest. Time to show it. I won't just run, spending my life wondering if Father's minions are hunting us. This way it will be over, decided."
The door slammed open. For all her complaints that Balat was acting suspicious, Shallan jumped just as high as he did, letting out a squeak of surprise. It was only Wakim.
"Storms, Wakim," Balat said. "You could at least knock or—"
"Elita is here," Wakim said.
"What?"
Balat leaped forward, grabbing his brother.
"She wasn't to come. I was going to pick her up."
"Father summoned her," Wakim said. "She arrived with her handmaid just now. He's speaking with her in the feast hall."
"Oh no,"
Balat said, shoving Wakim aside, barreling through the door. Shallan followed but stopped in the doorway.
"Don't do anything foolish," she called after him. "Balat, the plan."
He didn't appear to have heard her.
"This could be bad," Wakim said. "Or it could be wonderful," Jushu said from behind them, still lounging. "If Father pushes Balat too far, maybe he'll stop whining and do something."
Shallan felt cold as she stepped into the hallway. That coldness. Was that panic? Overwhelming panic. So sharp and strong it washed away everything else. This had been coming. She'd known this had been coming. They tried to hide. They tried to flee. Of course that wouldn't work. It hadn't worked with Mother either. Wakim passed her, running. She stepped slowly. Not because she was calm, but because she felt pulled forward. A slow pace resisted the inevitability. She turned up the steps instead of going down to the feast hall. She needed to fetch something. It took only a minute. She soon returned, the pouch given to her long ago tucked into the safe pouch in her sleeve. She walked down the steps and to the doorway of the feast hall. Jushu and Wakim waited just outside of it, watching tensely. They made way for her. Inside the feast hall, there was shouting, of course.
"You shouldn't have done this without talking to me," Balat said.
He stood before the high table, Elita at his side,
holding to his arm. Father stood on the other side of the table, half-eaten meal before him.
"Talking to you is useless, Balat. You don't hear. I love her.
You're a child," Father said.
"A foolish child, without regard for your house."
"Bad, bad, bad," Shallan thought. Father's voice was soft. He was most dangerous when his voice was soft.
"You think,"
Father continued, leaning forward, palms on the tabletop,
"I don't know about your plan to leave?"
Balat stumbled back. "How?" Shallan stepped into the room. "What is that on the floor?" she thought, walking along the wall toward the door into the kitchens. Something blocked the door from closing. Rain began to pelt the rooftop outside. The storm had come. The guards were in their guardhouse, the servants in their quarters to wait the storm's passing. The family was alone. With the windows closed, the only light in the room was the cool illumination of spheres. Father did not have a fire burning in the hearth.
"Helleran is dead," Father said. "Did you know that? You can't find him because he's been killed. I didn't even have to do it. He found his own death on a battlefield in Alethkar. Idiot."
The words threatened Shallan's cold calm.
"How did you find out I was leaving?"
Balat demanded. He stepped forward, but Elita held him back.
"Who told you?"
Shallan knelt by the obstruction in the kitchen doorway. Thunder rumbled, making the building vibrate. The obstruction was a body. Melisse. Dead from several blows to the head. Fresh blood. Warm corpse. He had killed her recently. Storms. He'd found out about the plan, had sent for Elita and waited for her to arrive, then killed his wife. Not a crime of the moment. He'd murdered her as punishment.
"So it has come to this," Shallan thought, feeling a strange, detached calm. "The lie becomes the truth."
This was Shallan's fault. She stood up and rounded the room toward where the servants had left.